Hey Legionnaires, General Cara Organa here. If you've got any young Padawans listening, now might be a really good time to send them off to the Jedi Training Academy, because listener discretion is advised.
Hello there.
We are Legion.
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, an unlikely band of nerds united over their common love for the Star Wars Legion miniatures game. We Are Legion is a podcast dedicated to coverage of all aspects of the hobby, from competitive play and list building to painting, modelling and terrain building. And now, here are your hosts.
And welcome back to another episode of We Are Legion. Lockdown continues, I guess. I'm your host, Support Officer Cooper, and with me as always...
Engineering Captain Courtney.
And Moth Mitch.
How are we all doing? Is the insanity kicking in yet?
Getting there.
Invade League will be good. Can put something on in the background.
Exactly. Although I hear that...
hopefully a few games are streamed.
Courtney has signed up for Invader League.
What, Nick? Yeah, Nick said he didn't actually play this one. Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Are you playing this one, Jeremy?
Don't be silly.
You're funny.
It was worth a try. It was worth a try. I almost convinced him, for those that couldn't see his camera.
I was like, did you pay for me to download all of the things that I need for it? No? Then no.
You literally only have to pay for Tabletop Simulator. Everything else is free.
Yeah, that's true. But
that is too much. A price too high.
Price too high.
That is on top of all the minis that I have been purchasing.
That's the thing.
So, I mean, it's lockdown. How's everybody's painting going?
I've got a lot to do, and then I'm up to date. Well, until the Wookiees and Yoda arrive. And then it's on to the next wave when they finally drop here in Australia, whether that's at the same time that lockdown ends, so never, or before that.
So the latest updates we've got is that most of the next wave will be dropping in September. It's currently avoiding a typhoon between China and Australia. So
The risk this time of year, but, you know.
Mitch, you're awfully quiet. I hear you had some B2s to finish off last time.
Yeah, so since then, because I'm still in the process of moving, which is only a few days away now, all my stuff is in a box, so no progress has been made, but maybe by the time we record next, there'll be some more progress.
I'm going to have to get you to put your camera on and we can all paint while we record next time.
Well, that would require my desktop to have a camera. Look, it's a win-win. I don't have to have my camera, and I get you guys in, like, full big screen, not on my laptop.
For shame, for shame. Just plug it.
See all the frowns and all the frown across Jeremy's forehead every time I say something. Like, what are you talking about, you crazy fool?
Just plug it. Do what I've done. Just plug your screen in.
Look, that requires coordination and a basic understanding of, like, what would be good.
Oh, dear.
And there, yeah, that's fair. That's fair. All right. Bit of a quick one from us today, everyone listening. There's been a few things drop, but as far as, like, local news.
We just discussed the local news. It's lockdown day. What day are we up to? 8,000 or something. So was it 500?
Count that high.
Something
I've run out of fingers, so I don't know.
It's over 9,000. Yeah, pretty much.
Maybe we don't know.
Can't remember.
Moab's officially cancelled. Yes. So if you had tickets for that, expect to see a refund.
They've already been
sad face.
A bit of a sad face there. Is Hero King still going on?
Potentially, but I haven't heard anything about it. The last update I heard was it'll go ahead either as a multi-state event where people outside of Canberra are allowed to come, or it will be a Canberra-only event, depending on border restrictions. So, sorry, Colkey, I don't think you're going to make it somehow. But
yeah, I think
hopefully people from Sydney can go.
I think CanCon
What's
is
the timing on that for those out of the loop?
That is, it's the, testing me now. It is in December to begin with, so that gives us a chance. It is the 18th and 19th of December at this stage. So as late as possible, like literally the weekend before the Christmas long weekend. So yeah, we'll see how that goes. It hasn't officially been cancelled yet, which means that people are probably working on it in the background at the high levels to make it happen.
More likely they're sitting there waiting and watching for yet another thing to unfold.
Yep. Yep, probably.
And the reason for all of this is...
The venue is already booked. So, you know, Epic, which is where it'll be, is already booked as far as I'm aware, which means that they're probably holding off to the last minute to cancel it, because that would be a waste of money if they didn't, if they do end up having to cancel.
But, it's out for it yet? Even though
They're not.
Okay.
No, there's no details yet.
I don't remember seeing any alerts.
No, there's nothing yet. Hopefully it goes ahead. If it does, there will be Legion there. It'll either be me or Ben Jordan running it, depending on if it's Canberra only. I've just thrown Ben under the bus then. Sorry, Ben.
Thanks for being voluntold, Ben.
You're voluntold as the backup Legion event person, because I know he's in Canberra now. Yeah, hopefully it goes ahead.
Yeah, I mean,
just
I haven't
for heard everyone's any, sanity.
I haven't heard anything out of any of the other states as far as Legion events, so can't speculate, comment, or...
I saw if you're in Adelaide, I think there is weekly meetup at a couple of the game stores there. But beyond that, I'm sure Colkey's got stuff running over in WA, knowing him.
But for how much longer?
Just realised something.
Jeff, what's that, Mitch?
I just realised something. If the next big in-person tournament that we can potentially go to is in December, I think that's after they're doing a points update. So maybe that quad Death Troopers list we spoke about in the last episode might see the light of day.
You know, you could just run it. Like, you can just run it whenever you want. You might not win, but you can run it.
I thought of a keyword that I want them to have, and then I think their points are fine. They're probably still not good, but that'd be fine.
What keyword is
that?
Because, you know, their problem is that their guns don't untap and, like, they work good with a bunch of that stuff.
Oh, so you want...
Give them a keyword that when they get a face-up, they can recover one of their cards. That way it feeds into the discipline, order-hungry, like Imperial core mechanics. But it means that you can just keep firing their guns, or if you want to get O-push back or infinite orders on them with a HQ uplink.
Yeah, yeah. That could be an interesting mechanic.
It'll never happen, but I
like it. Sort of like cycle. Well, you could actually do it, because what you could do is you could make it a gear. You could make a gear that gives that keyword to stuff, because then you also kind of fix the HH-12, the T7 Ion. Hell, you also fix the Rebel 2 Ion guns as well.
Careful, fix the HH-12?
Well, it effectively means that if you get an order, you get to fire it every turn. So
I'd like to remain in the world where we never fix the HH-12. I enjoy where we are.
Yeah, well, that's one thing we are going to be talking about is just how much better the RPS is on Magna Guard compared to pretty much all the rocket launchers. Like, is that now the best rocket launcher in the game?
What a spectacular segue.
The B1 rocket launcher isn't that bad either. It doesn't.
Oh, bad exhaust.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does. It's something cumbersome. The
E60. Sure, I was looking at it this morning.
Got him looking it up now.
I was looking at it this morning.
The B1 rocket,
yeah.
Exhaust,
yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, 100% it exhausts.
Wait, are we agreeing?
There's something wrong in the universe when you two agree. Just remember this.
No, I thought, oh, wait, Jeremy's disagreeing. I was like, I was wondering who was disagreeing with us.
Yeah. All of them have a downside. So the RPS on phase one.
HH12 gets both.
Yeah, HH12 gets both. It's the worst. RPSs on vehicles don't have cumbersome.
Because they're vehicles anyway.
They're vehicles. Out. Yeah. The phase one gets cumbersome, but doesn't exhaust. And the droids get exhaust, but not cumbersome.
It is the first Special Forces rocket launcher that we've seen, though. So.
Yeah, that's a good point. It is, too.
Mm.
So, on that topic...
Well, how about we actually get
someone read the card?
How about we do this instead? This week...
Uh-oh.
We actually have stuff to... fuck me. We have stuff to discuss. So, we'll delve into the remaining things that we've forgotten about. i.e. the last of the command cards for the Super Tactical Droid, the Magna Guard upgrade cards, which have finally been spoiled. And then once we're done with that, if nobody has any objections about holding the Fluttercraft until next time, the really big RRG update. That's only one page long.
If you scroll in, it's real big.
Yeah, 300-400%. It's very, very big.
It does.
Oh.
And yes, so, the E60R B1 Trooper does exhaust.
Thank you.
It's also Impact 2.
So where are we starting? Magna Guard, since we were already talking about it?
I want to flag here that even in my delusional, somewhat grumpy state from last episode, I knew that the IG-100 with a heavy was going to be 100 points. I called it, and it is.
What people can't see right now is me giving Mitch the finger.
it was too beautiful a symmetry to not happen.
Look, I didn't...
Yeah. Well, it,
say
doesn't
it
make sense.
Couldn't happen. I just expected the IG-88 to do the IG-100 attachment to make them 100, and then the extra weapons to be just a little bit more expensive.
You could very easily see a points change in the future where that happens compared to Royal Guard, but that's where they sit at the moment, which I still feel like the developers are overcosting the benefits, the downside of AI. Because AI dodge move on these guys is not that much of a downside.
No.
When, except when you're in melee. And now that you've got, you know, super tactical droids that exist that can literally say, hey, just ignore that for that turn. I'll take the downside. These guys are just straight better than... than Royal Guard in almost every way except for the Guardian.
Mm.
And the heavy weapons...
I think it's more that they're overvaluing...
They are better.
They're overvaluing Guardian because you can still do things like bring a sniper strike team back to, like, full health from one... Like, bring one mini back, which increases their effectiveness.
Take the hit for a strike team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's increasing
Let's be real, though. You're not running strike teams when you have Magna Guard. Everyone's running triple Magna Guard.
Yes, yeah, but what we're saying is
300 points.
IRG can take a hit for a strike team, whilst the Magna Guard can't.
They've got can't. Yeah. Yeah, that's probably part of it, but when you go straight on adding immune melee PF and unhindered, which Royal Guard have to pay for their extra body, and then also buy environmental gear to get to that same thing, you're talking about 103 at the moment. The downsides, because you also remember these guys, the droid troopers, IRG, are not. The downside of AI dodge move is sort of the big difference there.
Because
droid trooper plus, you know, well, I suppose minus the Guardian, if you want to put it that way, but they also get retinue. It's like.
Yeah, I think, look.
So
IRG are just.
Maybe IRG are going to gain retinue in the points update in a month or so.
Maybe. That would be real interesting, considering that that would also add synergies to their PALP IRG thing, where they're always getting an order and they're also getting a dodge or an aim.
Which I think is actually quite healthy.
Yes.
Yeah. Could be very good.
It'll be good, but I think it'll probably be good, better than it needs to be, but I think it's healthy for the game.
Yeah, I think a lot of these old units need an add like that, just to bring them back up to where this new stuff is. But yeah, we're talking specifically about the heavies here, not the whole unit. We did the whole unit last day.
Yeah, we did the whole unit last time. Come on, guys. Right, so you got three heavies, three cough heavies. One is the IRG 100 Magna Guard, 22 points from memory.
Yep, 22 points.
So sub 100 to throw in a fourth dude. I will point out in our local gaming chat, everybody looked at that IG 100 and went, he's not a heavy. They've just screwed the other card up. No.
But he is. No, he takes up the heavy slot. Yes. He takes up the heavy slot. Not an actual heavy weapon. Two extra wounds, more die in all of it. Could be useful if you want to keep them on the cheap. But for 6 points, surely you're just going to take one of the other two.
If you've got the 6 points to spend.
Yeah. We're talking about CIS at the moment, who, 13 acts and a big bid have been sort of the norm at the moment. I got points to spare.
Sometimes. You can't... You can do the 13-act list, but you can't really do the 13-act list with the super?
Yeah, I think you're going to have to...
You sub in a 12. You
have to drop D1 heavies.
Yeah, you sub in a 12.
You're subbing an act and... Yeah, probably. Probably dropping your version, you'd probably drop a T-Series and a BX for a super. And still get to 12 and have two forms of direct. So,
no, in my version, you swap out a T-Series, the OOM droid, the extra comm stuff, and then a few other just niche little upgrades, and you still stay at the 13. I think it's one heavy weapon.
Okay.
And vigilance.
I think 13X is less necessary at the moment anyway, though. There's so many heavies seeing the table and force users, 12 is sufficient.
Oh, look, I think 10.
Because you only need to do four than your other player.
Yeah, you need one or two up. And even with a super, you can go equal and still put four units down after if you're running Kalani.
You can, but you'll never to bring it back, you'll never see those Magna Guard get into that army because I don't have enough points unless I swap out all the staps.
Yeah, but then you're also dropping all your strike teams. So,
well, my two strike teams, but yeah, the list changes entirely at that point. It's
completely
five out of 13. But yes, so we get the IG 100. I can see it being somewhat played if points are an issue. Like if they're going for max IRG, and they're going for max IRG and double character. Not that you can, unless you go super and then a force user or a
super and Grievous. You can get there.
Actually, Grievous.
It'd be 300.
It'd be Grievous
300.
Yeah, Grievous plus 300, give or take.
Yeah, you're probably still getting a super in there, and then just a whole bunch of
three naked B1s.
Naked B1s. Yeah. What's that? It's six. Still getting 8 acts. We've seen 8 acts work, and if you've got the super in there, you're probably not going to want to use reinforcements. But you
probably
can
go for the generic super.
Yeah, well, you can still use the reinforcements there. Because you've got the card, which we'll get to in a minute. But you probably wouldn't want to, because then you have to deploy Grievous sooner, because Grievous can't benefit from that card.
They can't all be winners.
No, they can't.
About second heavy upgrade.
Yeah.
The Electro Whip Magna Guard.
Yep.
Range melee, 4-1. Two red dice. Immobilize one. When you wound an enemy with an attack that includes this weapon, it gains an immobilized token. and versatile. You can perform range attacks while engaged with this weapon, sitting at 28 points. And most surprising to me, doesn't have sidearm ranged written on this anywhere. So you can still get a pistol.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Charge into something and then shoot somebody else.
Well, he doesn't have arsenal, so he can't do both. But it means that if you're at range 2, you don't lose a guy, which makes sense. And if you're at range 1, that's great. So, you know, you're 2 red plus your 3 black and 3 white if you're at full strength. Possibility of doing an immobilize there. Just a quick one on the versatile. If you use charge, you can't actually whip out of combat because you can't perform a ranged attack off charge. So just one for the... Unfortunately. Or fortunately, depending on how you look at it.
Oh, that would break the game.
I play droids, so definitely unfortunately.
But
okay, fair enough.
That specific... So here's a quick one. Is it that specific character that gains the ability to shoot out at range 1?
Yes.
Or does he just give it to the attack?
Yes. It says with this weapon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You can perform range attacks with this weapon.
So it'd be the same thing as like a high velocity if you want to talk about something similar.
Yeah, I was thinking of the bit of a cheat way to do it. If you could get around it where you go, oh, look, well, I charge into you guys, and then next turn you use the whip to form the pool outside of that combat and then add in everybody's pistols.
Yeah. Fortunately, not how it works.
Thankfully.
Yeah, this is going to be useful in a lot
points,
of cases.
I see this being the go-to if you've got that extra 6 points to spare. Mitch?
If you're wanting them up there in melee. Yeah.
This is excellent. This is like Battle Shield Wookiee, but for a unit that is probably a touch more flexible because of its high save. It doesn't have to be in melee.
Hmm.
So I think this is like on par with like effectiveness of the armor one that Wookiees get, but it's just upside. It's not plugging any gaps.
Yeah, there's no downside to taking it, that's for sure. Except the extra 6 points, if you consider that.
Yeah, well, if you've got the points to spend.
The double red in melee is good.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And
that's
the bonus
just a straight upgrade on the units.
Yeah, and the bonus is, unlike high velocity, it's if any attack in the pool makes a connection, it makes a hit, which becomes a wound.
Yeah.
As opposed to the reverse, which is normally things like high velocity or... what's the
deflect.
No. What's the other one that's like high velocity?
Yeah. Immune deflect. They changed it in the last, not the one we just got, but the 2.0. to the whole pool needs immune deflect for it to work.
Is there another weapon that does that sort of effect where it requires the whole pool? I'm not sure there is.
The clone sniper, because they don't have high. They don't have high.
Yeah, immune deflect.
Yeah,
that's.
So yeah, it's those two.
Yeah, I can't think of one off the top of my head.
I can't think of a third one.
No, but it's the reverse. So it's like the.
Yeah, it's like. Like every other weapon keyword.
Yeah.
If it gets added to the pool, it becomes part of the pool. Like critical impact.
Yeah.
And in terms of that 6 points, like this is, most people are taking Opush on their slappy units these days. The 6 points is like basically getting Opush every turn in terms of the melee upgrade for just 2 points more. And then you get the other flavor as well.
Yeah. And then the last...
Is that what the 2 red upgrade is worth?
it's worth just under a name token.
Okay.
Because they've got such quality basic dice.
Yeah, and search it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So yeah, apart from that, Courtney, you want to run through the third and final upgrade for the Magna Guard heavy slot?
Yeah, it's an RPS 6 Magna Guard. It is a rainbow, red, black, white, range 2 to 4, critical 1, impact 2, for also 28 points. So, just the best rocket launcher in the game.
Now, you've left out our friend, the HH-12. but that's okay. Yeah. I'll let this one slide.
So that has Impact 3, Cumbersome, and Exhaust.
But it's also triple
black. It may have
also on the best core unit in the game, Stormtroopers.
Oh, right, okay.
Now, hang on.
Best core unit in the game?
The HH12 is however a triple black. So...
Yeah.
And Black Dice is Death Dice.
Well... No.
Well, Black Dice Surging Hit.
Black Dice Surging Hit.
Well, you got to remember this is red, black, white, surging hit, but also has critical one, impact two.
Yeah, but that white dice is more likely and, going to miss.
Oh, yeah. It's got three sides on of it out of its eight that'll hit, but that red has got seven of eight on it. This unit does not have sharpshooter, though. Neither does Stormtroopers.
No, but Stormtroopers can pick more dice when they throw them, so... You could whiff with all three black dice and then still pick all three up and throw them again because, you know, Stormtroopers.
Yes. They don't get a... They have got plenty of ways to get an aim, but they don't necessarily get a free one at the start of the turn.
The rocket launcher is exceptional.
Yeah. It has no downside, unlike every other infantry-mounted rocket launcher in the game.
There is one downside. You can't have it and the whip.
On Magna Guard?
Yeah, you can't have it and the whip. You got to pick.
Yep, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
Do you want?
You can either shoot at range two really well, or should be able to shoot at range one really well. Like those are your options. Where do you want your Magna Guard to play? What range band do you want them to play at?
Yeah,
exactly. Is really the question.
And if you're playing at range,
I think
four,
you're going the whip.
Yeah, if you're playing at range four, you are definitely negating the, you know, other three models in the unit. And unlike with your B1s,
oh, yeah, 100%.
Where you throw a E5S sniper on there and you don't really care about the rest of the unit because the E5S sniper does better shooting than them 9 days out of 10. Red, white, critical one at range four.
Yeah. I think that's sort of in vain to what I was going to say about this Magna Guard rocket launcher is the problem is it's competing against the second and the third best rocket launchers in the game belonging to the B2 and the B1 units.
Yeah. Yeah. Why would you waste, close, 100 points on a rocket launcher when you can do it for 50, 60 and put it on a B1? Or
and the B1 can throw in those crit dice with their white rifle.
Yep. At range three at least, and the B2's like, yeah, blast.
Blast and suppressive.
HA.
Yeah. Blast and suppressive.
Yeah, and
fucking
yeah.
And you know, at range two,
on paper,
it's like
this is the best, but
it does lead me to think of an entirely B2 Magna Guard army led by one general.
Yeah, being a super tactical droid.
More like
that would be cool.
Probably more like Maul Grievous.
You're gonna be able to fit all that in.
It'd probably be like
yeah, we're playing Grand Army now.
Oh, okay, yeah, cool. That makes sense then.
Yeah, no, it'd probably be you're looking at like a Maul list where you've got a tactical droid just to fill your HQ slot, and then yeah. Mm. Or you're going for a Grievous list or a Dooku list where you're using them as the H as like the primary focus of the army, but everything's going short range. Somehow, droids are the close range horde army of the game. Who would have thought with all those bodies?
Well, the horde army bit makes sense. They do get the biggest units.
And the best short range weapons. The B2.
Yep.
Just broken.
Yeah.
In that regard.
I don't think B2s are broken.
That's fair. Yeah, they're probably
they're
not
still
broken.
Expensive. They're like a HAP squad is 93 points.
Yeah.
Is that with a T series?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. HA and then T. HAT.
Yeah. I'm confirming. We'll be right back.
Super Tactical Droid cards. I haven't pulled these up. Courtney, Mitch?
Oh, yeah.
These are the command cards.
Give me a second. Yes, I have them. So, the one pip, they too will suffer. Super Tactical Droid only. At the end of the command phase, your opponent must choose one of their core, special forces, support, or heavy units with an order token, if able, and return it to their order pool. The first time your opponent would draw a random order from their order pool this round, you may force them to draw a token with the rank of your choice instead. Oof. That's some interesting control there. Very much like give in to your anger with a little bit of Double the Fall mixed in. That's sort of, the first half is a little bit like Double the Fall, and the second half is sort of half the effect of Give In to Your Anger.
Yeah, it's a little bit of everything without the good bits of each of those elements.
You can set up some pretty fun standbys with this.
Potentially. But one thing that you can do is actually, this card is actually really good if you can potentially jam some key pieces that like to go late.
Or early.
Well, late more so, because it's literally the first time you would draw a random order token.
Yeah, but then you can force them to, if they're wanting to go, for example, with their staps first, you can, because that's early, you want them to go early, you can put something in the bag and force them to go with that first, so you get two cracks at that unit that you want dead, or need to not attack you.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you get two cracks. Yeah, or potentially two, or guaranteed two, if you have initiative. But more looking at, if you can somehow, well, hit Anakin with his floor, or jam a key unit that wants to go late, you can make it go early, because that token will be in the bag, assuming there's not too many other shenanigans going on there.
Staffs with comm jam is confirmed.
Going to be good against Civil War armies, that's for sure. Especially Rebels, if you can get their special forces in the pool and then force them to draw other things when they really want to go with that Mandalorian unit.
Yeah, I think that's where it's most useful on those sort of non-character strength lists. So your Mandos, maybe some Magna Guard shenanigans. Although I don't think it's good against a droid mirror, because you just order up and be like, cool, I will toss in my one token. Oh, I wonder what I'm going to draw. What would you like to demand me to draw?
I don't think it's really going to be useful on... Well, it's even really going to struggle against clones who can put out so many orders now between direct and fives and Padme with thieves and all sorts of shenanigans there.
Much like the Magna Guard whip, this is another reason why droids are going to be exceptional in hostage exchange.
Mm.
Ooh, yeah, good point.
Because you can not only make sure that you get your hostage to safety on that turn too, but make them have to draw that on their second turn. So you can go first with your hostage right away, make them not go with their hostage first, and then on your second act, you can slam into their hostage. If you win priority, of course. But if you're playing a one pip, that's somewhat reasonable.
Yeah. It comes down to a near 50-50.
Pretty solid.
Unless you're playing Kallus.
If they also play a one pip.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not Krennic or Dooku or...
Kallus.
Kallus. Got to watch out for Kallus.
But if they don't play... If they do play a one pip, sorry, that means that's probably the only order they're issuing, and then they are fishing from the bag to look for that hostage anyway.
Yeah.
So, yes, it comes down to a roll-off there, but then they need to get exactly the core trooper.
Yeah, and you can, you just need more time to hit that hostage then, because you go, you're not getting a core on your first draw, and then you're up to the whim of the bag at that point. Yeah.
Right before Kraken slaps you in the face.
Hmm.
Mm. What about the...
Hopefully.
Two-pip.
The two-pip. Preservation protocols. Two droid troopers or AI units. When a super tactical droid issues an order to a droid trooper unit or a unit with AI, it gains disengage, impervious, and a dodge token. So that will also include the direct AI when that's handed out as well. So you can get three lots of this to three different units.
Yes.
From Kalani and the generic. Obviously, Kraken does not have direct.
Yeah. This, by the way, is one of my favorite card arts in the game.
Super tactical droid punching Anakin in the kidney.
Punching him back to his spot on the Force user rankings ladder.
Bottom? Under Vader. Commander Vader.
And pre-birth of speed, sure. Pre-birth of speed, sure.
Yeah,
no, saying that, I am running Anakin for Invader League, so, you know, we'll see how that goes.
Why would you lock that into your list?
I like that list. Really do like that list, so I'm going to have fun with it. Plus, it's 9 acts,
that's
so my game's a little quicker.
That's what it's all about, playing Legion, just having fun.
Yeah, and it's 9 acts, so the games will go quicker, which means that I've got no hope of getting clocked out if I make it past the round. This is interesting. I don't know. Is the disengage going to come up that often with droids?
Yes. Three or four games were won at Moab by disengaging into another unit.
So Luke disengaging into another. Oh, well, no. Because he can withdraw B1s. Into another unit. Yeah.
You can B1s.
Withdrawing.
Mm-hmm. You can, can withdraw into another unit.
So the disengage means that you're going further. Yeah, I suppose that is useful.
Yeah, so one of the big ones, not even
obviously
one of the big ones that at CanCon that Fang had a unit of B1s from James from Melbourne disengage out of his Stormtroop unit into a Death Trooper unit. The Death Troopers had to perform one action and only one action that turn, which was to bonk the VAP to win. And because they got withdrawn into, they got pulled off the VAP.
Okay.
So you can
There's
some
got uses then. Lots of uses.
Yeah, you can run up in a turn and charge something, knowing that you're probably not going to get mowed down, and knowing that you're probably going to be in their lines. And yeah, B1 hordes are just going to look at it and go. Mm. Yeah, sweet. All right, thanks.
Yeah, 3B1 for disengage will be interesting. Impervious.
I think the biggest plus side of this disengage is it means that it's like similar to how like your Call Me Captains or Double Fall or Given to Your Anger was to stop dive units. This is the droid way of stopping dive units. Because they get tangled in your lines, now you can disengage and properly run away and then shoot up their Force user. Like, standbys aren't enough to keep you stuck there.
Or create dive units for droids.
Oh, yeah, you can do some pretty funky things where if you're in the lines, then you can use the disengage to just single move into another unit, not use charge. Melee them with your... 3-stick Magna Guard and whip something else, perhaps the unit you were already in melee with, so that they don't get away. Mm. Or a strike team if something like that presents itself.
Gonna have options, that's for sure.
Makes me happy that I ordered 3 boxes.
Really good card. Of Magna Guard.
Yep.
Why am I not surprised?
Look, we lend these armies out occasionally. I need to have all the options. As you're aware, Mitch is currently borrowing my Rebels.
The problem with borrowing the Rebels is now that we went into lockdown, the momentum of the meme is fading.
Well, the problem is you're stuck with Rebels for the rest of that SSL league, so you're just going to have to live with it.
Yeah, we should probably talk to the organizer and see what he wants to do about unit legality or resetting faction locking or something like that.
Yeah.
Because it's a very different decision point now compared to how it was.
That's fair.
Just to raise the question. I don't care if anything changes, but I think it should be asked.
Well, I mean, I wasn't allowed to run Lats, and I owned them. And I wasn't allowed to run Kallus, and I owned them. You know, that affected my decision on picking
but that
a
was
faction.
The...
Yeah, but that was picking a faction to begin with.
But yeah, the...
Yeah,
the, what the factions have available.
Different.
Yeah, what the factions have available is very different right now, and in a couple more months, it's going to be very different again.
Not really.
Yeah.
In Australia,
for something
yeah,
my, that was meant to be over before all that stuff was available.
Well,
yeah.
Only partially before the AA5.
You think about it.
Effectively, the rule is if it's
anyway.
Available in store, you're able to use it. So now you can use AA5s because Australia has them in store.
Jeremy
and Lats.
Hmm.
Do not underestimate our means. Super tactical droid. It gives orders to three droid troopers or AI units. And it's another one of those divulge cards. So if you play the text, if you play the card not divulged, its text reads, if this card was not divulged, at the start of the activation phase, choose up to two friendly units with face-up order tokens. Each chosen unit recovers, which
in itself is good.
Which is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have ways of getting orders to your organic units, then free recover might be handy.
Yeah, Maul would love one.
The divulge component. Divulge, deploy unit step. Choose up to three friendly units with AI. Each chosen unit gains reinforcements, which, as a reminder, allows you to delay their deployment until after all units without the keyword.
The tank
but,
has
just in
yeah,
case you thought it so crazy with all those effects, don't forget you get one or the other because the
play
text
no, you
starts
oh,
with
yes.
If this card was not divulged.
Yes, actually that's correct. But you still, if you do divulge it, you still have it at a 3-pip.
Correct. It's just, it becomes assault for droids.
Droids
and
AI.
You don't you don't have to play it on turn one, and you don't discard it.
Yeah, it's returned to your hand.
Hmm. Which
it's truly the definition of assault plus.
Mm. Mm.
However, three units plus a super tactical droid with reinforcements. Now, do they have to be trooper droid units?
No,
it says
AI.
They have to have AI.
Ugh. Which means no hats. No AAT for T theories. No decard. No mauls. No maul probe droids.
But it does mean you can
no
T use,
theories.
But it does mean you can use AATs, STAPs.
Yes.
Probably the
assuming you don't
droid.
Give your AAT a pilot. Probably. Anything that has AI, yes, you can use. But if you give it something that makes it lose AI, like a T-Series on your AAT, or a T-Series in your B2 unit, then no, it doesn't benefit. And you can't use, with the exception of Kalani, who has the reinforcements keyword on his own, the Super Tactical Droid itself can't benefit from the divulge section of this card. Doesn't have AI.
That's fine.
So there
I
are downsides.
All those options when there's Magna Guard.
Yeah. Or BXs with, you know, Vibro Swords and Scout 3. So, there are places for it, 100%. There's some really good spots for it.
I was just thinking of if you ran Kalani tank and a couple of other things, like probably a couple of spider droids when they're released, depending on what they've got, you can stick your B1 ball somewhere, especially on those asymmetrical deployments, like hemmed in, and go, all right, oh, you've deployed all over there, ignoring my ball. Here is half my army, all of the heavy hitters, pointed directly at you. Enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It's going to be good in elite armies. That's for sure. It's going to give the CIS options for elite armies, where they go, hey, you put 3 to 4 units down after you're finished.
Hmm.
I do have one question, though, and it's not clear from the RRG update. Interactions between this card and Darkness Descent. Who goes first?
Darkness Descent?
Is it? Because the wording on Darkness Descent is very specific.
Oh, it does say at the end of setup.
Well, if it says end of setup, then it would be clearly Darkness Descends would be second.
Yes.
So Darkness Descends is after reinforcements.
Well. Yeah, because he must be deployed at the end of setup.
Understanding.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So
it would go reinforcements and Darkness Descends.
Yes, so now there is an order of operations for deployments.
Oh, goody. Yeah, that's great.
Alternating deployments.
That'll probably need to be official.
It'll be alternating deployments followed by alternating reinforcements followed by Darkness Descends.
So, question for you. Do you reckon the bottom part of this card or the top is better? The reinforcements component or the 2-3 recovers?
I think it's going to depend on what list you're running.
Mm.
Will depend on which one you want.
All right, well, since we're talking about the reinforcements, what type of list loves the reinforcements?
Elite heavy.
Yeah. So Trip Magna.
Trip Magna. You could go double tank.
Yeah.
If you want to go double tank with a super tack and not have those tanks not to have.
Yeah, T series or.
You can direct onto. You can direct onto one with.
Yeah, you can. That's a good point. You can
remove the AI off the other. So yes, with Kalani.
With override, yeah, actually. Yeah, you would go probably generic at that point because you'd strategize on one as well. Give them both linked. You're also going to be issuing an order. You could potentially throw a comms relay on your B1 chain as well to throw an order onto it.
Assault tanks back. Armor piercing and the blast missiles instead of high energy. Because if you've got that many aims, you don't want to be using 6 red, 1 white. You want to be using things that are slightly lower quality dice to maximize hits.
Yeah. You also have the option to barrage, so maybe you go one shell on each. Barrage something, because the main cannon is pretty good and doesn't really need aims, but it's nice to have. Definitely see that.
It brings double tanks back in. I also thought about Kalani triple deckers.
Yeah, that would be good because you can strategize onto two of them, direct the other, so they've all got aims when they shoot.
But not only that, you can put them all. The big thing about Droidekas is you either have to utilize their speed 3 moves to get them to where they need to be, or you can basically deploy these guys like a clone ball.
Yeah, they all move up together. Mm. Click, 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 click.
Thoughts there, Mitch? Make Deckers great again?
I'd love to see some deckers on the table. But I reckon the recover part of this card is much, much better because it means that you can recover just first thought, recover some hat squads so that they do their move range 3 on the prior turn and they get to recover at the start so they can move in range 2 and have their rocket back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good use of it.
That's like... pretty devastating.
But then they wouldn't...
Because if you haven't taken any casualties, it's, what, 2 reds?
Way too many dice.
3 black.
3 black, 3 white, 3 5. Red.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. 3 red, yeah. Yeah.
Because your T-Series would be in there too. So
T-Series.
3 red, yeah. 4 white, 3 black.
Yeah, that sounds... With blast. Don't forget the blast. Ignore. Yeah, that's going to be amazing. And, you know, you can throw things like strategize on that as well. And
But the thing here is...
I think both
sides work because you're going to build your list around this card, whether you're going to use the card for the B2 repeat shot or you're going to be using it for the deployment. It's much like the Padme 3 pip.
Yeah. You build your list around what you intend to use that card for,
so
rather than having it as a multi-use card.
Exactly. Yeah. So lists like Timbo's do not use the... Well, 99% of the time, he won't use the I'm going to divulge this and give Padme fucking secret mission.
Secret mission.
But I am going to play it turn one.
Just so takes the reliable one.
So that my ridiculously overpowered Saber Tank gets another Surge token to spend.
I think you're gonna, when you pick your super tactical droid, you're gonna figure out what you want to do with this card based on what your list is doing, and it might change for one game here or one game there, but ultimately you're just going to be going, you know what, that's fine. I'm going to use it for this one and not care about the other half of the text, whichever one you choose.
Yep.
And I think if you're running Kalani, you're probably going to try and build stuff that helps benefit that reinforcements anyway, because he comes with it.
Yeah, I think this card is good no matter what, but I think it's good enough.
Two-step.
Even if you don't build around it.
I have heard of a 13-act droid list that runs an AAT, basically naked, and still has trip stats. Yes, it is doable. It's really light on weapons and upgrades, but it is doable. If you drop that down to 12,
okay,
throwing in Kalani, might have to talk to Fulcrum Nick about this. You might be dropping your three steps last, so you anchor point around your AAT and go, come at me, bro, and then you literally get your steps as a flanking force.
Yeah, it's there. It's possible. Once again, that's you building around that divulge side of it rather than building for the top side where you recover. So, you know, I think the options are definitely there, which is great to see because, once again, droids still look like the best internally balanced faction out of all three, where pretty much, now pretty much everything is viable. Like, you could easily use this card to make your deck as usable, you know, in large numbers. The Super Tactical Droid definitely helps those support options with AI direct AI instead of direct droid trooper or core droid trooper as it is on the T-Series. So, you know, droids for the win again, I think.
And with that, this will be the passing of Alex Davies' reign, even though he's been gone for a while, because everything coming out in this wave that we're going sweet for was the last of Alex Davies' make, so we know which faction he liked.
I thought he...
You know, this was the last of this stuff was the super tactical droid and the spider droid were the last things that Alex worked on, according to what he said.
Okay. At least we know where AMG is starting to take it then. If this is the last of it, then we're going to start seeing stuff that Luke's done in the transition period and then onto actual stuff that AMG does completely on their own.
Yeah, so they, unlike those poor Armada players that are having to wait for AMG to scratch their proverbial noggins to get a
head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going somewhere nicer. Collective asses. But yeah, no, we can see that there's a roadmap still here for Legion, at least for the next year, because I don't imagine anything that Luke Eddy made outside of this wave will be dropped. I mean, it would be silly.
Well, we got Mini Extravaganza in a week, so we'll see what happens there.
Yep.
Yeah, give us new stuff.
At least they might announce some new packs and just not show anything. They'll just say, hey, here's a list of everything that's coming. And we'll be like, yes, that would be awesome.
That's definitely going to happen. But if it doesn't, then I don't care, because I'm going to be in that mindset and it will happen.
Okay.
Yeah. We might even just see some concept stuff. Like last time when we saw... Well, last year, these extravaganzas are 6 months apart, so, you know. The last one was in March. So it's taken 6 months for them to get through this whole wave. We don't have it yet, but it's taken that long.
But it's
almost here. Next month.
Almost here.
Next month.
Yeah.
I would like my Yoda.
Yeah, September, October.
I would like my Yoda.
Me too.
3 units of Wookiees and 2 Fluttercraft to arrive. All Wookiee list.
Oh, once again, it's because you lend them out.
Yeah.
All right.
And then outside of obviously all of the lovely stuff, guys, the other thing we were talking about today is the really large rules update. One page, people.
Yeah.
As I said, I've got it zoomed in. That seems like a pretty big update to me.
Well, at 300%, of course it does. Yeah.
So a little disappointed that they didn't just build this into the current RRG. This might mean that they're revamping that rulebook.
Hopefully. Hopefully it means that they're doing, well, they're preparing a points update, maybe some card updates.
Maybe they'll give Death Troopers that new keyword that I said.
Maybe. They have said maybe. That they will. They are going to discuss the points update at Mini Stravaganza. So.
Well, then this makes sense. You know, some of these things are hitting the ground around the world this week, I believe.
Nope.
People have probably got them in their hand already.
The holdback
date was until, these things have to be.
So the holdback date was until after Mini Stravaganza.
Okay. Same as most, I'm sure they're out there somewhere.
I think Asmodee has clamped down on the street date issue a bit more.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot of MCP stuff that's also being delayed because of this. And look, I'm okay with this.
Mm.
I'm okay with holding off for another month half a month. It means I'll have a fully painted clone army until the Wookiees get here, and a mostly painted droid army.
Yeah, we're also all working from home at the moment, so, you know, hobby time's increased. Which makes it easier. So onto this, actually, what it says and a few little tidbits that I found interesting. That really require clarification. a big one being guidance. It's just literally the reminder text. You can do actions that are non-attack. Cool. It doesn't explain.
Copy-paste. Is a difficult maneuver.
Well, you could have copy-pasted from Pull the Strings, at least, and just changed it to, say, non-attack action. That would have, you know, could've, been better. Would've.
They didn't.
Yeah, so, because that...
Look, it's only version 2.0.2. But if it cleaned up in 2.0.2.1.
I hope so. I have questions, like... This doesn't say that, you know, free actions can trigger off of the guidance action. It doesn't say that if you then trigger a free action that allows you to make a free attack action, for example, that doesn't count as your attack and your activation. That's all laid out in Pull the Strings. So does that mean guidance just you can't do any of those, or do we read it like
Pull the Strings? I think we should string? Just leave Yoda at home. Like, no one, don't play Yoda.
Not for guidance, anyway.
So the way the way it's written, the rules. So because we actually should actually go through these, because these are all new. Guidance is when a unit uses the guidance keyword action, choose another friendly trooper unit at range 1 to 2. That unit may perform a free non-attack action.
Yep.
Pretty self-explanatory on what they can and can't do there. Like, if you have to follow it as written, it's guidance has to be used as an action and can't be a freebie because it's the guidance keyword action.
Another unit gets to perform a free non-attack.
Yes. However, from LJ's thing, it doesn't stop charge, because charge is a free action off a movement, if the unit has it.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, that it should operate like that, but we just want clarification on, does it proc on, does it proc steady and charge and relentless?
Yeah.
Which I think it will.
Tactical or agile.
Well, it'll proc the...
It'll definitely proc agile and tactical. Because...
That's when you perform a move.
A non-attack action is a move action. That's a standard move, and standard move
does proc those,
But yeah, the clash of steady, charge, relentless with the non-attack part of this doesn't make it absolute. Mm. Not yet. But I think we can expect it to do that.
I fully expect it to be exactly like Pull the Strings, except non-attack action.
You can't. But
I would have liked to have seen that explicitly written.
If it's that they get to perform a free charge or relentless or... What's the other one I'm thinking of? Steady?
Steady.
that's fine, because how many units in the clone army have those?
Obi-Wan, Anakin,
Yoda,
and only after he gets his Yoda, who he can't perform guidance on himself,
Chewie,
or anyone he gives his 2-pip order to.
Yeah, or anyone. Yeah, or any 2 turns of his 2-pip.
Yeah.
Chewie. Yeah. So they're out there.
Chewie and the Wookiees.
Yeah, Chewie with charge.
Yeah, Chewie and the Wookiees. So
yeah, Wookiees.
Effectively, there's
it is actually important.
5 units in the whole game, all of which are 100 points plus to be effective.
Yeah, but it's on his command card. That's the important one.
Yeah. So you could make it an arc. Is it relentless on that card as well?
Yep.
So you could do a full, you know, arc team. Could get, you know, make a move action, have relentless, have an aim to go with it, and unloads at range 2, potentially with echo as well. And just murder something twice in a turn.
Still don't find that... yeah, okay. Yeah, if they do the shooting themselves. I don't find it that broken, considering you got to throw a 200-point model in to give it that ability. And he has to be at range 2.
Yeah, for sure.
Or 1?
2 of them, yeah, which range 1 to 2.
Moves at speed 1 and they move at speed 2. They're going to outrun him to begin with. So you, as an opponent, you see that setup coming from a mile away.
Yeah, except for that on his 1-pip, he's speed 3.
Yeah.
For a turn with no drawback. And he has got 3-4 slots, so burst of speed is also an option.
Yep.
So for, you know, 3 turns of the game, he'll go at speed 3.
Yep.
Yeah.
With Yoda, you can play one of his command cards 3 times in the game, and I think you probably should be doing that.
Yes.
Especially
this command card.
What else do you want to talk about? Because most of these are just the reminder text, like reinforcement and override.
Reinforcement, override.
What about their biggest update in this rule update?
Yeah, there's...
The overrun rule.
Yeah, there's 2.
Overrun?
Self-destruct and overrun came with this kit. I'm a real fan. Overrun being overrun weapons, specifically. A weapon with the red overrun icon. And it looks like it's a bent arrow in a circle. Is an overrun weapon. Overrun weapons can be used only during overrun attacks. A unit may make X overrun attacks during its activation. Does that mean if the card has overrun, weapon card has overrun 2, then it can make 2 attacks?
Yeah, but as you'll see in the next sentence, there's timing about those attacks.
Yep. A unit may make X overrun attacks during its activation. A unit with an overrun weapon can perform an overrun attack after it performs a standard move in which it moves through an enemy unit. After completing the move and resolving any displacement, the unit with the overrun weapon performs an attack against the unit it moved through using only its overrun weapon. Cool. Cool. I see the Fluttercraft getting a lot of usage here. Being as this is the card, I think this will be on the bombs on the Flutter.
It would make sense, wouldn't it?
It's the only card, I think, in the spread that we haven't seen, and the Asmodee site refers to it gaining this rule.
Cool. So, yeah. I would very much like to see if they get overrun 2 or 3, because then it makes 2 or 3 attack actions against a unit it moved through and displaced.
Mm.
Especially considering that the weapons on the Fluttercraft are all rear-facing.
Well, the one gun we've seen is rear-facing. They only have 2, right? The gun that we've seen, which is basically a mounted bowcaster,
and
the bomb, the thermal detonator Wookiee.
But the thermal detonator Wookiee is facing backwards while he drops his bombs. So yes, my mind is on that they're facing.
I don't think it's going to have fixed, because if you look at the next dot point, overruns attacks are not range attacks. Game effects that apply to range attacks do not apply to overrun attacks. So he's not going to have fixed rear because he's not making a ranged attack.
Well, that wouldn't really matter either way.
It requires you to move through the unit.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can also reposition once you've finished moving.
It's a speeder.
It's a speeder with reposition.
Yeah, so the rear arc is... Yeah, the rear arc's not that big. But the important one for this, for it not being a ranged attack, is
cover.
It ignores cover, but can't be fire supported into.
Well, it was always going to ignore cover because it was a grenade. They were going to give it blast at the very least.
Yeah. And Overrun attacks do not cause the defender to gain suppression unless the overrun attack has suppressive. So you don't get to put two on them for free, effectively, by running them over and displacing them, potentially, if it's a speeder with your compulsory move, and then getting a free suppression from attacking them. So, yeah, interesting. New mechanic. See how effective it actually is.
See what I'm excited about with this mechanic? Them going back and adding, as part of the errata, when we get the points update and all that, that tracked vehicles, like the Gav Tank, get a overrun of 4 red.
That's nice thinking there, buddy, but that'd be really, really powerful, considering that we'll then have a Gav Tank and we'll have the NR99 Persuader, or whatever they call it.
And unless they make it's it an like upgrade.
Overrun like 4 red, so instead of firing your guns, you run someone over for 4 red and that's it. I think it just makes it sense that a tank with tracks does more than one suppression. Yeah.
Well, it wouldn't do more than one suppression.
It takes away, it comes at the cost of like
making an actual attack because it's still an attack. Mm. A unit with the overrun weapon can perform an overrun attack.
Yeah.
Which means that because it's an attack, you can only do one per turn.
It'd be cool, but we'd need to see more tracked vehicles in the game.
Maybe not. If a unit can perform multiple overrun attacks during its activation, it must perform a separate move through an enemy for each overrun attack. So if you've got overrun 2, you've got to move twice and you get to drop 2 bombs, effectively.
Yep. And you can reposition.
It's not going to be difficult considering...
No. The first tabbed out point says if you move through multiple units, you can only attack. We'll do one overrun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then you can.
But if unit can perform multiple overruns, i.e., it has overrun.
Yeah, but it's got overrun X, so you give the tracked vehicles overrun 1.
Yeah. Yes, okay.
For example,
don't get to make a shooting attack.
Here's the thing: the Fluttercraft has reposition, so it could have overrun 2.
Yes.
So that the idea
it's also
is
a speeder, so yeah.
Yeah. So
it could have overrun 3 as well.
Yeah. So that it continuously moves and drops bombs.
Potentially. Hmm. Yeah.
Did it have speeder? I thought it didn't.
Yeah.
Have...
So speeder.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, it's also immune to all the range 1 stuff, right?
Yeah.
It's got all the speeder stuff.
Yeah, overrun. I like the look of the Fluttercraft, which is coming on, is going to be interesting. I mean, effectively, you can just let it do its thing. You don't have to worry about it having the clone trooper keyword because you can't fire support into it.
You're not going to need many tokens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Depending on the
just
points,
goes off does its own thing.
Yeah, depending on its points.
Be nice for bombing run. Yep.
Depending on its points.
Literally.
Depending on its points, it's a it's something that can be included in a clone army without you know. I want a displacing unit that does some damage, harasses their lines, and allows me to run breakthrough. And bombing run.
Yeah.
There you go.
Or allows you to compete in those spaces at least.
Yeah.
Instead of feeling bad when you get that matchup.
Yep. And outside of overrun, obviously, the other rule that we got on version 2.0.2 was self-destruct, which...
Programmed. Oh, wrong one.
I mean, we already had programmed.
Well, no, we didn't. That's new. And it just said I have to equip and whatever that new upgrade is, which we're assuming it's going to be some sort of programming.
Well, with the,
well, if you had program, the update as big as I have the update, you'd be able to tell exactly what that little symbol is.
It's a...
Okay, what is it then?
It's a...
programming?
It's a actually, plus grade?
You know what it is.
It's That's... a plus with molly wrappers on 3 tails.
So, hang on. No.
Okay.
The actual symbol, surprising as it is, to show it to everyone.
Yeah,
it's the R2 jack.
Nice and large here. Ah, okay. The standard port.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the R2 jack on a plug-in. But yeah, effectively, if you're looking at the protocols on the Persuader tank and the Spider tank, I would say that's what it is. I'd say it's a program.
No, that makes sense.
Slot.
Yeah. Makes sense.
But then, yeah, self-destruct, because programmed didn't give us anything. You have to, you must equip a programmed upgrade card.
Program. Cool.
I haven't seen any of the programmed cards, so I don't know whether they're going to be good or bad.
Yeah.
This is like before Intensify Forward Fire in Armada.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone wanted to know whether it was going to be
good. Oh, yeah, we didn't know what it was, but we were all guessing.
Yeah. But outside of that, we do know what self-destruct does. A weapon with a red self-destruct icon is a self-destruct weapon. Self-destruct weapons can be used only during self-destruct attacks. The self-destruct X keyword allows a unit to use its self-destruct weapon. A unit can perform a self-destruct attack as a free action during its activation if it has at least X wound tokens. Cool. A self-destruct attack is a free action with the following effect. Perform an attack using the unit's self-destruct weapon against each unit, friendly and enemy, at range 1 and in line of sight of the unit performing the self-destruct action. Anybody getting the feeling that this is a terrorist weapon?
It literally is, because the next dot point reads, after performing all attacks, the unit performing the self-destruct attack is defeated and removed from play.
Yep. Self-destruct attacks are
Ranged
attacks.
It literally blows up.
Yep. And they are ranged attacks.
So they,
a bomb.
Yeah. Yeah, it probably would. For those that are a little bit confused about what the X actually stands for, it works the same as in Rage.
Yes.
So however many wounds you have on you is counted, and if you're at, say, self-destruct 4, once you've got 4 wounds on you, you can perform the self-destruct.
Confirm Spider Joy has 4 wounds. Thanks, Courtney.
Nice. I don't know. I'm using it as an example because Enrage 4 is a thing.
It is. But what I'm looking at here
is
it also is a free action. So you can double move into your opponent's line and then pop yourself.
Yes. As long as you haven't attacked as well. But yeah, because it's still an attack. If for some reason you managed to get one. Wow, okay.
Does it say attack action anywhere?
Yes.
Yeah, that's so a...
No, it just says attack. That's okay.
Unit with self-destruct attack as a free action during its activation. You can only make one attack action, and that's
no,
either melee
you can only make one attack
action,
but this is not an attack action. This is a self-destruct action.
You'd have to get some clarification there, but I would imagine that you cannot...
Yeah.
Like, does it operate similar to maximum firepower or coordinated bombardment?
No, because you've got the ability to probably have three of these in your army. Just
maybe they're all turnable.
Don't know. The fact that they're using the language of attack and self-destruct attacks are ranged attacks.
Yep, so it counts as a ranged attack.
Says to me that it is.
Unlike the...
Yeah, so they're four...
Unlike the overrun bombs, which don't count as an attack, which allow you to continue moving, this is an attack action. So you can either use whatever your primary... I'm going to guess it's not your primary weapon, but whatever your primary weapon is, or you can self-destruct. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you've got other options on the way through by looks of it. Like, it's a free action. So, just detonate when you feel like it.
Double move.
And we know the spider droid. We know the spider droid has a flamer as well. So, you could, in theory, if you get really lucky, get up there, flamer something, and then the next turn you take enough wounds to be in self-destruct mode and just go, you know what, probably not going to survive another turn. Let's just hit the big detonate button and see what I take with me.
Yep.
Maybe one of the protocols will be that if your unit is defeated, you trip your self-destruct anywhere.
That'd be
potentially.
Nice.
Potentially, that's one of the programmings.
Yeah, I'd really like to see what the programming is. Maybe we'll see that at Stranivaganza. So, you know.
Hopefully. Got a week to find out.
Dropping a lot of cards, though. I think we'll find out before then.
Maybe.
Hopefully.
Maybe they're just dropping just enough so that they can hook us all in and that they don't have to do too much legioning at Stravaganza, because they're also dropping what will be considered a shitload of MCP product and content. I think they've done 5 or 6 boxes in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, they've done heaps. They've also teased a few things that haven't been officially or have been officially announced. Like, we saw the Hulkbuster armor before we saw the box.
Yet to see a Juggernaut.
So,
but that's a story for another podcast crew and another time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a story
that Jeremy would tell you.
It's not a story. It's not a story that We Are Legion will tell just yet. Need to get off duty running. Outside of that, I think we might call it a day. If you need to hit us up, you can find us on the Discord. I am still @WeAreLegion_S_O_Cooper. Courtney is @WeAreLegion_E.capped.space. Courtney?
Yeah, so it's @WeAreLegion_, abbreviations for engineering captain, and Courtney. But if you're in the Australian a part of the Invader League, you can find me on there. I'll be lurking around there for the next few weeks, chatting with people.
We're always available on Facebook, and we're streaming where the other podcasts are streamed. Thank you to Anchor. And Mitch is available as well. I'm guessing he doesn't want to talk.
Sorry?
He's hiding.
He's hiding.
I'm not hiding anywhere. I'm here cooking up my next stupid list.
I love it.
But you can find me on Discord as Mediocre Mitch.
And I
suppose you can chase me down on Facebook.
And, until next time, we will try and keep these coming out fairly regularly while still in lockdown. I'm your host, Support Officer Cooper, and with me,
Engineering Captain Courtney.
And Moth Mitch.
For all of you that can, may all of your roles be crits.
If you like this podcast, please follow our Facebook page by searching We Are Legion Podcast and subscribe to the show via your favourite podcast platform. Voiceover and post-production by General Kara Organa.